Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. Obviously, feel free to give us a call. If you prefer email, though, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. More destruction, more heartbreak, more digging in. And I say that because of obviously it's just heartbreaking what's going on, and we're going to talk about money and how to go make more while people are dying. And it feels weird. It feels awkward, and it is what it is. The world will move on regardless. And it doesn't mean that our heart and prayers are not with the people of Ukraine. And our hope for this world is it continues, that madmen will be destroyed and evil will not persist. But even if Putin backs off, and I firmly believe he will at some point, or be killed, and the world will continue, another crazy, evil human being will come along. And I look at it, though, in a broader sense of this. This has to be a message that we are better people than we thought we were. We are more united than we thought we were. Maybe not here in the United States. Maybe the loony left is the loony left, and the loony right is the loony right. But around the world, certainly nobody thought that NATO had any teeth, had any possibility of standing up to anything. And they did, like instantly. And I think that it's beyond incompetent to tell Putin what we are going to do every time, or what he can or can't do. It's just idiotic. It's like Joe can't, you know, oh, there's a squirrel. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, my God. He just barfs whatever comes into his head. I get the incompetence and stupidity. But we tend to be united right now as a world. Nobody thinks that Putin is a good guy. I mean, you know, Iran might be happy about it, but now the Iran deal's in doubt, right? Because of sanctions. Certainly, this isn't positive, but maybe, just maybe, there is a silver lining there that we can move forward with some thought as NATO of what to do. Think China's watching? I sure do. I think they changed their mind. Not because of Joe, goodness gracious. Because of Joe and Afghanistan, they really were emboldened. But this has to change it, because the whole world sees them for what they are. Xi is a Putin. We don't like that. And now we're all expressing that. So this is a horrible thing. And I can't even believe somebody bombs schools and hospitals and just doesn't care. It's beyond our comprehension. I completely get it. It's just not even understandable, and we all want to go get them. But watching Ukraine and watching that this world still has brave people, magnificent people, unbelievable. A wealthy, quotes, comedian, actor, entrepreneur can rally the world. To me, just shows that this world is still full of human possibilities, stunning possibilities. Well, you couldn't have scripted that. The West had no respect for Zelensky. They sure do now. He rallied the world. The Ukrainian people rallied the world. I know, the politicians didn't, but they came along fast. They weren't the ones that are rallying the world. The world watched. Ukraine didn't cave. And then the world came back. Not fully, but it is something to see. To me, it gives great hope going forward. And I want to talk about finance, of course. But we all have to put it in the context of human kindness, human reality of this money stuff doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have the rest of the stuff. Of course it matters. Money matters. It matters a lot. At least we think it does. But it is the crux of everything, everything that Putin and the oligarchs do. Power, money. Money is power. And as we look at it, but it does seem to be so wrong to talk about. But it's not. Because we do need to keep it in the context that it is. How do we keep ours safe in a world that's upside down? Does that mean we should run and sell out everything and run to cash? Of course not. Put it in gold. Tie it up for 10 years in an equity index annuity that won't even earn inflation. None of that to me makes any sense. It doesn't mean the market won't go down next week. And that's what it feels like. It always feels like it when you're in the midst of a correction. And the news is really bad. And there's a reason why the news will stay bad. More death, more destruction, more problems. And in the end, with interest rates as low as they are, all over the world, gold hardly has even moved. I would think the oligarchs trying to move money into gold so they can get it out of the ruble alone would have sent gold skyrocketing. It's still not even at 2,000. Where it was years ago, way before crazy Putin decided to go completely crazy. Rates have fallen off of 2% down to 1.7%. I don't know where you put money. You chase Bitcoin? I'll talk a little bit about that in the second hour. That's why it just seems like the market can't fall that much. Now, it doesn't mean there won't have more news on Monday and the market keeps going down and eventually we fall a lot. But, you know, high-quality stocks in the S&P 500, including the tech stocks, really got whacked. Okay? That was not that bad a week, off 1.5%, considering that Ukraine is on fire. Oil prices hit 115 in the United States, almost 120 abroad. These are pretty devastating things. And then we turn around and go, hey, okay, here's the reality of what's going on. We are reopening. And if you want more evidence of that, Sleepy Joe is now presiding over an economy that's doing just fine. Thank you very much. In spite of, let's see if we can raise taxes. I'm not going to even think about changing my mind on energy. No way. I don't change my mind on nothing. Nothing changes my mind. That's how smart I am, because I'm never wrong. And that's his energy policy. We're not changing a thing. We're just going to beg Iran to pump more oil. Let's go do an Iranian deal. That's smart right now, because we want to appease more, you know, murdering thugs. It's a great idea. It's crazy. But in spite of that, look at the economy. Look at jobs this week. It was terrific jobs growth. We are reopening. Even Looney Tune policies from a weak, horrifying president who won't even change directions when it's absolutely stupid to keep going. When the conditions change, you change. It's okay. He won't. We're still reopening. that's what we have to remember. The economy is bigger than one guy, bigger than stupid politicians, entire administrations. It's still bigger than that. They can throw sand in the engine, but they can't stop it from going. They've thrown pounds of sand in this engine. But it's also exposed the stupidity of their agenda. And that's the long-term, if you will, to me, picture. All right, we got to take a quick break. It's 580-5436-580-KIDO, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I talked a little bit about the fact that we're reopening and how important that is to the economy. We forget it, right? We think about the events, if you will, that drive the economy. And some of them drive the economy. I get it on a short-term basis, they do. But we miss the simple fact of hundreds of thousands of people every month going back to work, and then the compounding on the people that are already working. And the fact that then people have money in their pocket and they're going out and spending, and that multiplier effect through the economy. And on top of that, when we think about the long-term effect of not building back broke, this is enormous plus for the economy. I know they're not going to talk about that on CNBC. They're just not going to. But the impact of not having government get even bigger, therefore more destructive, is an astounding thing. It is really a big growth engine going forward. Because the thing that government has done, particularly the last 20 years, is just got enormous. And Joe wants it to become even more. And I don't mean a little more, gigantically more. And that's been stopped. We're going to talk a little bit about it in the second hour, but we've got an economy that is opening up with job growth that's excellent. I know everybody's watching Ukraine, and we should. It's certainly a real human tragedy. I'm sitting here in Crazyville, okay, in Seattle, and they're going to open up in a week. Now, I know that's science, because next week the virus ends. But it does end, even in places that have been crazy. We'll talk to you after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not the station, a broker-dealer, or anybody else. And we're not here to buy, and sell, and tell you what you ought to own and trade and that kind of thing. We're here to just think about the big picture, what direction we're trying to do, and best we can together to continue to plow forward on our goals. You know, I often think about this, obviously I do, but as I get older, I continue to contemplate what happened over my 40 years. And finding out it's just not that extraordinary, except it's an extraordinary story of any 40-year period. You know, the numbers might change slightly, but as I've said, the market does 10% over long periods of time. Like that's some kind of gravitational pull to the equator, to 10. I mean, with the Dow at 800, gold at 800 in 1980, when I started, and to watch the Dow flying past 30,000, which I'm going to take a sidebar here and say, if you haven't seen it, go to our YouTube channel and see Dow 30,000. It's just really a great story of the last 40 years. See, it's not all. As we just simply add it up and go, wow, that's amazing. Wow, that's stunning. $10,000 grows to $1 gazillion. That's not just a story. It's something to think about all the time. There's lots of bad stuff that happened since 1980. Lots of it. Lots of reasons you shouldn't have invested. And we just forget the psychological impairment we have of what's right in front of us, the feelings, the emotions that that brings. And then when something is resolved, we just fly past it like, oh, that was pretty easy. We got past that. We got past the Soviet Union in the late 80s. Yeah, that just went away. We got past double-digit inflation, unemployment, a drive to socialism and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger government. We got past that. Oh, but this one now, this is so totally different. And that's just human nature, and we can't even convince ourselves that that is my human nature, to only be able to tie emotions to what has not been resolved and not be able to feel and understand the complexity of the issues, the difficulty of solving the problems in the past, and thinking this time is so, so different, and we won't solve those problems. So easy to do that. But 40 years ago, man alive, I was super young, obviously. But gold was at $800 an ounce. And there'll be a lot of ads running right now because this is the time to amp it up. I know whenever I click on Fox, it's like it's either the pillow guy, it's a vitamin of some kind, or it's death and destruction and you need to buy gold. Always. Always. I suppose conservatives must be sleepy, in poor health, and terrified of their world. Just can't deal with it. Just scared to death. It's all going to die. Go away. Buy gold. Hide it in the basement. Must be the feeling. And that's sad. Super sad. Because it does have that drumbeat effect when we're just like, with all this uncertainty, what are you going to do? Well, I'm the really smart guy that wrote a book and made zillions of bucks because people bought my book. It's unbelievable. Or I'm just like this guy, I don't even know who you are, but you need to buy silver. Okay. Grand. You don't need a long-term plan. You don't need to put a few bucks away. A cup of coffee a day, $1.1 million. $500 a month into a Roth IRA. $4.5 million tax-free dollars. Now, don't do that. Buy some Bitcoin. Because today, it's working. And that brings me to what I want to talk about. Quality. Quality. Let's get away from the chase. Well, what's hot right now? Oh, let's just pretend it's early, mid-2000s. Real estate. Buy real estate. Lever it up. You don't need to put money down. That's dumb. Borrow it all. In fact, you should see this. This is really cool. They've got a negative amortization thing that literally you can put zero down. No kidding. So why not buy 20 of them? It's easy. Slam dunk. Throw out the stupid rules. Goodness. In 1999, we were sure that dividend-paying stocks, were dumb. So sure, they wrote some great books, some must-read stuff, right? People are proud to have those on their shelves. Dividends are stupid. You don't buy companies with earnings. That's dumb. Buy Air.com. Change your investment style. People like Warren Buffett are so yesterday. That's not how the world works anymore. In the 1980s, we needed to buy, late 80s, only Japanese stocks and study all of their unbelievably good management techniques. If only we could be like Japan. That's what all the people told us. And they had great books that we'd all be proud to have on our shelves. The Rising Sun, The Japanese Experiment. Great books. I'm sure they're still just, you know, in all the finance classes in college. We seem to want to change our mind and fly around. Instead of like doing what works, it's like, you know, my parents, grandparents and stuff, they got rich, but they're stupid. There's this new thing, new way. And I get it. Gosh, I was the same way. We all were when we were young. It's kind of that, if you will, that little piss and vinegar that kind of made it work for us, right? You know, fake it till you make it. I don't know anything, but I'm going to pretend I do, you know? I'm going to hang in there. I'll keep getting my nose punched. I'll keep bringing doorbells. I'll keep making phone calls. Slam, 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 slam. I'll keep doing because I know what I'm doing. You need some of that. But it's really good when you temper it. And when we get into times like this, gravitating towards quality is a great idea. Not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's pretty good the way it is. But going back to fundamentals, going back to basics, a cup of coffee a day for 40 years. Yeah, but what if you kind of didn't do that when, like, we were in 08 and 09? A bad idea. Keep doing it. But what about the tech bubble when it burst? Yeah. Okay. You know, in the Ukraine thing, I mean, it's like, imagine if you kind of like stepped aside during those times, then you would be out. And a cup of coffee a day wouldn't be $1.1 million. It'd be slightly more than the cost of that cup of coffee a day, which is $72,000. It's not as easy as it seems in hindsight to have navigated all those twists and turns. And it's really hard for young people. I get it. They want to gamble. They want to get rich quick. They want to play with Bitcoin, meme stocks, understanding that they can do it on their own. Why would I ever hire somebody? Why do I have to walk into this stodgy old place? You don't have to. But getting back to quality and thinking about, would I rather own Bitcoin or would I rather own Apple, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Chevron, whatever industries you like or don't like? Do I think Bitcoin's going to zero? I don't know what it's going to do. And maybe it goes up next week. Maybe it's a great place for oligarchs to hide their money for a while. Don't you think it would be? If you really want to have the ruble right now? Maybe we ought to buy Russian stocks, Chinese stocks. We've heard that over the past few years. Chinese are really smart, really growth. A billion people coming out and becoming consumers. And they're run by a maniac that wants to take over the world. Oh, well, that couldn't be a problem. So really, because they've got the best artificial intelligence companies. They've got really, again, did I mention they have like a billion consumers there and they're getting richer all the time and blah, 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 blah. How's that going for you? And we all had to buy into that. I did. Hong Kong. Buy Hong Kong. And it worked for 25 years until China changed its mind and became, well, back to communism. We're dictators. So whether we're thinking about overseas investments. Those are obvious. I'm not going to invest in Russia. Well, a lot of people did. China, most certainly, a lot of people did. Whether we're talking about Bitcoin, meme stocks, throwing $10 on the Knicks game the same as we would throw $10 on GameStop, all of that, we just continue to want to get rich quick, and that's okay if you're throwing the dice. It is not okay when you're building a portfolio. If you want to throw 10 bucks on GameStop with your, you know, 0.01 shares, fine. As long as you're doing $500 a month in a Roth IRA to create over $4 million tax-free, then throw the rest of it away. Why would I care? If you're doing the basics, quality stuff, the right stuff, buying quality companies, the greatest corporations in the world, that's what is represented basically by the S&P. You don't have to like the people that are there and their woke nature of the CEOs and the boards. Don't you feel like that's changing too? Seems like it to me. Everywhere I go, even though I'm in Seattle right now, I still see American flags out. There's still patriots everywhere. There's still people that believe in the basics of this country. Guess who still runs the country, other than the loons that are currently the administrators? This country is far from done. And when we forget that, or we put politics in the face of the great corporations going out and figuring out how to make the best stuff in the whole wide world, whether it's medicines, phones, blasting rockets into space, figuring out how to make electric vehicles. It's us. And you get to own part of all of that by doing nothing. And so when we go out and we don't think of this in a quality way, we buy junk, we buy garbage, we buy Russian stocks and stuff that can go to zero, and we wonder why we don't do well. We just got to get back to basics. And you take a look at it today, and it's like, wow, we just took 20% off, roughly speaking, you know, some more, some less, across some of the greatest corporations in the world. Why wouldn't I want to own them? Well, because it feels like they're going to get cheaper tomorrow. And they might. They probably will. And then one day something will happen and it will be up and you will have missed it. And you go, I probably should have bought that. And even if you would have bought it 20% down and it went 30% down, you'd have been happy to have owned it. And the idea that you're going to catch the bottom is, of course, absurd. You won't, and that's life, and sorry about that. But you won't catch the bottom. People think they will. People think they're smart. Smartest people have the hardest time with that. They really do. Because they think they can intellectually figure out what other human beings are going to do, and we can't. And that's who the drivers of the market are. But think quality. Think the S&P 500. And yeah, sure, there's some quality smaller stocks out there too. That's fine. But think great quality. And I don't mean bonds that guarantee to return to you far less than you put in after inflation in 10 years. I don't want any of that. I don't want cash earning zero. I don't want a bunch of emerging market stocks that just are run by people that don't have a rule of law. Can we buy into countries that are changing their laws and are growing? Absolutely, and should. Gosh, places like India are trying very hard to change. They're not even close to there yet, but they're getting rid of some of the fundamental problems that they have with the caste system. It's coming. It's changing. But it takes time. And most places aren't. And maybe we're going to have a great reset with the finish of Putin. And maybe China's watching and realizes the world doesn't like that at all. And Taiwan is not up for grabs. Quality. Focus on quality. And don't run for the hills and listen to the charlatans telling you all about how gold from 40 years ago has gone from $800 an ounce, not produced one lick of a dividend, and is clear up over 1900. But don't worry, it's going to 2000 or 3000 or whatever number they put on it for the umpteenth time. It's fear. Fear sells. I get it. I get it. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO.
Hey, I just want to mention, too, if you have any comments or questions, please bring them to us. We'd love to hear that, and that's at PetzoFinancial.com. And also there, we, of course, have articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. We also have podcasts, some educational stuff. Check it out. And I'm going to talk about this in a moment. But you know, on there as well is why equity index annuities won't work. Just a simple, as best I can in 12, 13 minutes, something like that, is why they won't work. It's not a complete explanation at all. But it does get a little bit behind the why. No, you can't have the upside of the market and not have any downside. It just is, you already know that in your heart, but this kind of breaks it down. It's a little bit why. Okay? We'll talk a little more about that later. But let's right now go to Dan. Dan, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Is this me?
Yes, it is, Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, it's Sam. I'll have to get off speaker.
Okay.
Great. You were just talking about, I'm being a little bit funny here. You were talking about not being able to bottom the market. Well, I actually did. I didn't know it. It was an accident. Back in March, when this COVID thing first started coming around, what was it, 2020? I happened to have some money laying around, and the market tanked. So I took what I had there and jumped in with both feet. And turns out it was kind of the bottom of the market. And I didn't know I was bottoming the market. I just saw some opportunity there. So I was up like 50%. Well, 100%, I guess you'd say it doubled. And now, you know, it's gone back down a little bit. But I'm still up like 25, I don't know, 30%.
Up a ton. You bet.
I'm being kind of funny. I'm not smart enough to bottom the market. I just got stupid lucky, I guess.
On that, I know. And that does happen,
anyhow,
especially when you invest consistently.
You
and when grandkids. Grandkids live up here, so I come up here a good bit to go see a couple of my grandkids and my daughter and her husband, and
cool.
You know, it's all right. I remember coming to Seattle with big old eyes, and wow, what a place, and it is beautiful, and there's no doubt.
I like
it's
Seattle.
A pretty place, not when you're driving around.
I'm actually on my way to a wrestling tournament.
All right. Dan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hey, before I go to a break and kind of catch up here with Fox News, we talked about this, several times recently, because it's just one of those back-to-basics thoughts, right, about the market, about trying to time the market and being out of the market. And I always find it just, I cannot reflect on it, talk about it enough, honestly. But if you missed the 10 best days, this is an updated one. I talked about this a few weeks ago, right? And then a week before that type of thing. I've talked about it a good bit, but I want you to understand this. This is an investment made 20 years ago through the end of 21. So it's an updated slide. And the reason I wanted to mention this is because it's even worse as we update it in the last 20 years than when I talk about it from a few years ago and 20 years back on it. From 20 years ago in 2002, And remember, in 02, the market was still down. So we're starting on that. We go down 50%. Anyway, it was 9.5% if you just stayed in. 9.5 a year. 9.5 a year. 10,000 grows to over 60,000. Incredible. If, in fact, you only missed the 10 best days, then your rate goes down to 5. And 10,000 doesn't even grow to 30, far less than half. Now, here's the deal. And if you miss 30, the 30 best days, and this is over a 20-year period, okay? A 20-year period. You lose it all. You don't even get 11,000 of your 10 for 30 days. But here's the key, because I know smart people are going to go, or smart Alex, either way. Yeah, but what if you miss the worst 10 days? Well, that'd be cool, except here's the problem. 7 of the best 10 days, and here's the update. It was 6, now it's 7. 7 of the best 10 days occurred within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days. In other words, the best days occur in the midst of the worst days. Get in, get out, get in, get out. You're not going to be able to do that. Nobody's done it, and nobody ever will. That's the silliness of this whole discussion of timing the markets or stepping aside or whatever. You trap yourself out, you don't get it. You don't get 9.5% in a zero interest rate environment per year, compounding 10,000 and over 60, sixfold, doing nothing through some pretty rough markets. You don't get that. And I'm just not sure we can talk about that enough to just go, wow, this is really all about me behaving when it looks hard, when it feels hard. All right, let's go ahead and take a break here for Fox News. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, 580-5436, or Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's start there real quick. I never buy coffee away from home. If you're meaning $5 a day, that's quite a bit of money. Please define. I heard a good presentation on Bitcoin. I can't afford Bitcoin, but do you think I should get one of the new ones? Comments. All right, so let's start, obviously, with a cup of coffee. Well, I don't think most people think that $5 a day, considering I think a beer is probably about $7 on average out alone. Meals are, I don't know, 20, 30, 50, you know, not even going super fancy, right, for a couple to go out. But anyway, a cup of coffee a day is what a lot of people do, or call it Red Bulls or whatever. I buy soda only or whatever they say. All of it adds up, and $5 a day is not a lot. So anyway, at $5 a day, that's what that is. $5 a day, simple, easy, $150 a month for 40 years. Invested in the S&P 500, the good, the bad, the ugly, has grown to $1.1 million over the last 40 years. A stunning number, the stunning number. As far as the Bitcoin and all, and I sure understand that, and I don't know what's going to happen with Bitcoin. That's my point. I don't know. They just keep making new ones. So why not keep making new ones until who cares? It's like saying the automobile to me. Okay, let's say for example, Bitcoin or digital currency becomes a huge thing. Okay. We don't know who the winners are going to be because in automobiles, there were hundreds of companies in the 1920s. And we have two in the U.S. now, you know, five or six globally that are left. Computers, the same thing. Early days of computers, they're all out of business. If we make enough bitcoins or whatever they are, digital currencies, whatever you want to call it, why am I focused on one over another? Why not just keep making them until they just all are worth less than they were? Again, I don't understand why I can't just do Petcoin. Okay, somebody else did it now. And why that's not just as valid as something else, I'm not sure. So when people talk about, I don't know where it fits in a portfolio, and if I don't understand, I'd rather own Apple. That's all. I'd rather say, what is my comment? You can't afford that? Then do $100 a month, do $50 a month, do $150 a month in the greatest corporations in the world, and don't try to find a digital currency that will solve all the financial problems because it goes to the moon. That just doesn't work. And I'm not saying you won't be the person that works, that wins the lottery. I don't know. I just know I won't be. But so I don't buy a lottery ticket, like ever. I don't buy things I don't understand or think are not quality. I want to own quality. And it doesn't mean I don't speculate ever. I think people should. Once you've done 500 a month, if you're 25 years old, $500 a month into a Roth IRA, then you can speculate. Until then, no. Take care of the quality stuff first. What you just really don't see much of, which is really something to me and just doesn't really register for some reason, is the millions of people that have put away a few dollars in a 401k, billions of people globally, have put money away on a regular basis, 401k, whatever you want to call it, and become financially independent. Versus the handful of people who are, quotes, digital currency billionaires. But that's what I'm going to chase. I just don't understand it. I want to invest smartly. And if I can't justify why I did what I did, that seems kind of silly, right? In other words, I really don't. Well, I did that because I thought it would go to the moon. Is not a justification. That's not a real story. I just thought it made a lot of sense because I heard this thing, so there it goes. I want to buy quality. I want to buy what I know has worked for way more than my lifetime. And that's what I'm really contrasting it with. Marcia, thank you so much for your email. I appreciate it very, very much. And again, our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go quickly to Terry before we run out of time. Terry.
Good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you.
A wise man on the radio told me years and years ago something about diversification.
There you go.
That's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and like you said, the quality. Once you have your base established, then you can go play all you want.
Exactly. As long as that base is there, I just don't have a problem with it. I've got plenty of little stocks that have gone to zero over my lifetime. I've had plenty that have worked out, but yep, that's not the core.
Now, on your Bitcoin, you got to keep Bitcoin away from all the, I call them crap coins, everything else.
Yep.
There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. So it makes a scarcity, and that's where the value comes from, a deflationary currency. It will only ever be 21 million of them by the mathematics, excuse me.
Right,
so,
right.
The rest of them, yeah, they can keep printing them and publishing whatever they're doing, but Bitcoin is a separate entity. That's why it's on top of the pile. It was the first mover. It will always have some value. To me, I put my leftover allowance money into it.
And I think that even my discussion, even my discussion on quality applies to Bitcoin, okay? It's not something I want to own or feel comfortable with at this point. I may own it someday. I may change my mind. Believe it or not, I'm not going to act like Joe. I don't change my mind when the circumstances change. I do. I want to change my mind. I want to grow and evolve. But right now, my feeling is not that way. But I would say, if I'm going to own Bitcoin, cybercurrency, I'm going to own Bitcoin. I'm not going to take a guess at Dogecoin or some made-up thing. as being the next thing. It just doesn't make sense to me. Stay with quality. You want to buy a cell phone manufacturer? Buy Apple. You want to buy a digital advertiser? Buy Google and Facebook and stuff like that. You know, unless you really know what you're doing. You just don't. You don't play around in the fringes, because that's how you just watch your money go poof.
Right. Well, thanks for making that clear. I'm glad your mind keeps opening up, and that keeps impressing me. So,
well, we'll see about that. I do have
another question. Well, I got a whole bunch of questions. I want Popcorn Future to watch it all shake apart here, but that's sideline. Are you bringing back any refugees when you come back from Seattle? I heard a bakery downtown was closing, Pierogi, I think it's called, because it was too dangerous for their employees to come to work.
Yeah, that's sad. I had not heard that, and it is sad. It truly is that there are places. But yeah, for example, my wife came this time too, and we talked about, we took the ferry and went out and went out to Whidbey Island and did some hiking and stuff. Anyway, it it was like, well, maybe the downtown ferry. And so let's go to Pike's Market. And it's like, no, nobody goes to Pike's Market anymore. Isn't that sad? But it's been overrun by danger, and it's just really sad what's happened. Homeless people, it's downtown Seattle is not what it was. And hopefully they've hired a new mayor. They elected a new mayor. So let's see what happens. But yeah.
Yeah. I've got a nephew in Bellevue that I keep wanting to go see and do the touristy stuff, but I just keep saying, no, it's not worth the risk of going over there.
Yeah. 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 Well, someday this too shall change. I hope.
Right. Gary, like
thank
I said,
you.
Popcorn Futures. Okay. We're going to sit back and watch it shake apart for a bit.
Okay, I know we are, aren't we? It's true. All right.
Have a
great rest of the day. Thanks for the call. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And we will be right back. We got to take a quick break here. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. As we wrap up this session together, I want to again say, if you missed anything and want to catch it, we have our podcast at the Apple Store or at PetzoFinancial.com. And today will be up usually in a couple of days and up and rolling. So feel free to catch up that way, and also to send us a comment if you have anything you think we should be talking about. Love to do that, okay? So send those over to PetzoFinancial.com. And also I give my email address all the time. So you have it, Dave@PetzoFinancial.net. So feel free to let us know. We would love to talk about that. All right, I want to talk about this. It'll be brief. I don't think I'll get too wound up about it. You know how I feel about fear selling, and how it's just terrible to me that, to sell equity index annuities, people drop all their licenses, right? They only keep an insurance license. They drop securities licenses, even though they talk about the markets as if they were advisors, right? Or what have you. But, anybody can have an opinion, like everybody has a nose, if you know what I mean. So we can all have an opinion about what the market's going to do and not do. Of course, I don't know why people listen to ignorant people, but they do. People that haven't been right, people that aren't even licensed to, quotes, talk about it or give financial advice. But people do. And people parade themselves as some kind of an advisor when they're not. They're pimping annuities or gold, silver, whatever doomsday product there is. And it works. It sells because of fear, not because of any reality. I mean, why wouldn't I just put all my money, all my clients' money, into something that got all the upside of the market and none of the downside? Gee, that seems like a no-brainer. I wonder why Warren Buffett doesn't just do that. or Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. It's just, we just forgot that it exists, right? I mean, it's like, of course, college's so good, even though it's only been around for like 20 years. Wow, we just didn't know. And so we don't do it because it's a 10% commission. Doesn't work. It won't work. But there is something that does. And so I wanted to say, hey, okay, all right, fine. But I can't stand this, that, whatever you want to say. We can't say, just leave it alone. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years, et cetera, et cetera. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. It works. But I can't. Here's my favorite one that comes up all the time. I'm getting too old to do this again, right? The 2008 or whatever. Quality. We're talking about a roulette wheel. Owning the greatest corporations in the world doesn't seem like this weird thing to do to me, but it is hard because it's priced every single day. And really smart people with lots of money just don't feel the same way about, say, real estate or something. Why? Because they can't price it every day. It's not priced. Not there. So, what's this alternative you're talking about? Hey, it's complicated, but it's not so complicated that you can't know that there's stuff there. And it's this. You can have the world's biggest banks, which to me are a whole heck of a lot safer than any insurance company in the world. Do I think JP Morgan's going to go out of business? No. Do I think that Goldman Sachs is going out of business? No, I don't. And I think they're a heck of a lot safer than filling any blank of any stupid insurance company. Way less sensitive to the world and interest rates than they are. So I'm going to go ahead and say credit-wise, it's equal, not better, just the same. So the guarantees are, quotes, the same. And all of them will give you full participation. Remember, these things have 10 years of surrender charges because there's 10% commission paid. So if you want to put it in for 7 or 10 years, you get full market participation with these. If you don't believe they're going to stay in business, you can even get FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, on it. And they can be traded every single day. I know there are alternatives if you're really that scared. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.